Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope you're all doing well today. Give me one second here. Just want to make sure this is being recorded. All right, it looks like it is. So before we get started, first of all, we're going to have our Creating Awareness Practicum today. Yay! I'm so excited for our time together today. But before we get started, I just want to let you guys know I'm like slightly off my game. I'm traveling, and we had some travel issues. My car broke down going from North Carolina to New Jersey, and so we ended up kind of staying in Maryland for a night, getting things fixed. And I'm in New Jersey now, but the place where we're staying is a little, you know, I'm just kind of not in my natural habitat. So, and the internet is a little bit slower here. So hopefully everything will work out just great. But just so you guys know, I'm just slightly off my game today. The other just quick thing I wanted to mention, just housekeeping, is this is my, this going to do this call today. And then after that, I'm going to be on vacation for a little bit. I'll still check in. I usually check in anyway, every couple of days, every 4 days, something like that. So for sure, you know, as cues come up or just things that you want to post them in the Facebook group, but I may not get back to you right away. If there are any questions about the program itself, my team is available. You know, they're in the office, so just shoot an email, and they'll be able to help you with anything that you need. For some of you, there are a couple calls that you need to catch up on. This is a great time over the next few weeks before we meet again in September to catch up. We're also going to be providing a couple of recordings for you, recorded trainings for you to listen to while I'm off. They're more practicums to listen to, and they're just great to help you go deeper with the skills and to continue practicing your skills. All right. So in a few minutes, we'll move into the actual practicum. But before we do, I wanted to just share a couple of little odds and ends creating awareness pieces that we haven't gotten to, just little tips, little things that I think will help you even more with your creating awareness tools. So the first is that I had mentioned that one of the ways to reflect the truth is through consulting. When we get to questioning, we'll look a lot more at consulting because consulting tends to be overused, especially in the coaching industry. But there are going to be moments where you're going to be in conversation with a client and you're going to want to create awareness about facts that the client likely isn't seeing or likely doesn't know, right? Places where your expertise comes in. I like to call this not so much consulting, although it is consulting in a way, but facting or messaging, giving them facts that they may not necessarily know, right? You're going to want to create awareness about some things. So, for example, you might be in conversation with a client and you can hear that there's anger there, and maybe you create awareness around anger, but at a certain point you may say, you know, anger can get stored in the body, right? That's consulting in a sense. That's facting. That's creating an awareness for the client that they may not have necessarily known. Or, you know, for a lot in the work that I do, when I support clients with business, sometimes we'll talk about enrollment processes, right? And a client may tell me, oh, you know, I'm just feeling so bad because I was on a roll, I signed 4 prospects, and then this last one I just wasn't able to sign. I may give them a fact, a way of creating awareness of something that the client doesn't know. I might say, you know, actually signing 4 out of every 5 prospects is pretty amazing. That's way higher than the norm in the industry, right? I'm creating awareness about a fact that the client likely isn't seeing. Here's one more example. You know, you might be in conversation with a client and they had a situation with a colleague and they stood up for themselves and they're feeling really bad that maybe they stood up for themselves. They shouldn't, you know, whatever it was. You might say it doesn't make you a bad person if you stand up for yourself, right? It's creating awareness about a fact that the client likely isn't seeing or maybe was never told. So this is just another way, and I'm sure you all do this naturally anyway, you know, when working with clients or in conversation or as you've started to practice with your coaching partner in this program. But I did just want to kind of pull it out because it is a skill. It is a tool to be able to create that awareness about a fact in a moment where a client really needs it. The other thing I wanted to mention, this is a little bit of a creating awareness tool, and also in general, an energetics tool. I'll tell you guys a little fact about something, and then I'll apply it to coaching. So in Jewish tradition, when somebody dies, their loved ones, like if you have a parent that dies or a sister that dies, partner that dies, a loved one mourns for them by sitting Shiva. They basically, for 7 days, they take 7 days out of their life and people come and visit with them, you know, to provide comfort. They bring food, all of that. Anyway, in Jewish tradition, when you go to make a Shiva visit, so when you go to call on a friend that is sitting Shiva because they've lost a loved one, there's a rule. Not many people know about this rule, but the rule is when you go to call on someone, make a Shiva visit, when you start having a conversation with them, you wait for them to speak first so that they can set the energy of the conversation. What that means is you don't want to go into a Shiva visit comforting someone and be super, super somber if in that moment the person sitting Shiva happens to be in a great mood or making a joke or something like that. Conversely, you don't want to go in lighthearted if you've happened to make that visit in a moment where the person sitting Shiva is grieving. So you essentially don't say too much. You sit down and you ask them how they are. You know, how are you? How's it going? You know, however you're going to open. But you're not going to open with any particular type of energy so that you can really go with the flow and give the person sitting Shiva what they need. I always thought this was very profound and something that we can 100% apply to all of life and to our clients, right, to our coaching. And how it applies to creating awareness, you know, back to last week with honoring what is, you may have a client that shares something that is really, you know, awful. It may not be as bad as a loved one passing. They may say, oh, I didn't, you know, such and such happened, or, you know, whatever it is. Listen for the energy with which the client is sharing it. It may be a moment for honoring what is 100%, but the client may be in a good mood, right? Or there may be something else that's there, or maybe they share it and you want to honor what sucks about it, but in what they've shared, they've also shared something positive, right? You want to pick up on that as well. You don't want to just bring positivity if the client is all down in the dumps, you know, at least not right away, right? You want to honor, when you honor what is, it's also about honoring where the client is at with it. And that means really following the energy with them. All right, let me just pause there. Any questions or comments, anything that you guys want to share about that? Start to. And again, the internet is a little bit slower here, so give me a second if you're raising your hands for me to see. Oh, here we go. Shaunette.
Hi.
Hi.
So what do you do in a situation where they set the tone for not wanting to talk about it at all, but you can actually see that they really do need help, but they just don't actually have the tools to have that vulnerability? Like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah, such a great question. So first of all, you want to honor what is and honor where they are. Right. So first thing I would say is, I hear you. I know that this is so hard. It makes perfect sense that you wouldn't want to talk about it. I get it. I've been there. Right. So that's number one. You want to honor what is. And then from there, you want to create a little bit more awareness. So what I would do, and of course, each person and situation is different. But from there, I would say, and of course, if you really don't want to speak about it, I honor that decision. We can not speak about it at all or come back to it at a later moment. What I would just say is this. Sometimes it may feel easier not to talk about, right, whatever the situation is. But what I've found is if we can have an honest conversation, even if it's really short, it may help you to, and again, you know, whatever situation they bring up and whatever as a practitioner, why you would want to speak about it, right? It may help to blah. I promise I'll hold your hand through it and we won't go any deeper than you want to go. And again, I'm not attached. I honor your decision no matter what, but would you be willing to dip into this, just toe dip into this a little bit?
Great. Thank you.
Or before you even ask if you'd be willing, you could also say, like after you kind of share all what I just shared, you could say, do you see any value or is there any value? Would there be any value for us to take a peek at this right now?
Yeah.
Right? So you could ask that first.
Because I find that this is a generalization, but Americans are mostly very good at communicating how they're feeling. But spending 20 years in New Zealand, they're not used to speaking about their feelings. It's very, they like to talk about the weather, but to go deep into their emotions is a real struggle. And so it's been a very big culture shock for me. And
yeah.
That's always a very tricky thing to navigate, especially being a deep person that likes to just be direct. They won't, you know, generally speaking, they're not very direct. And so
yeah.
I'm so glad you're talking about this because I feel like I need more tools and how to navigate my way through some of these conversations. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I would definitely experiment with what we just looked at and also just give you two other pieces to think about.
Yeah.
One is in the enrollment conversation itself.
Yeah.
To share, you know, especially if you have a sense that it's someone that may not want to look at their feelings, to share, set it up, pre-frame it already then. Say, to the person, you know, I just want you to know, of course, I never go anywhere where you don't want to, but if we're really going to do this powerful work together, and if we're really going to get you to X, right, whatever the desired result they want, why they're hiring you in the first place, there are going to be moments where we're going to want to go deep and talk about things that you're not used to speaking about. The reason why we have to is, right, and then share with them a little bit about that and say, you know, so would you be willing to do that as we work together, right? So that already you're setting it up from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then the other piece I'll toss is that sometimes somebody may not be, especially if it's a new thing that's coming up, if they're not ready, we always want to try, right, in the conversation, in the session. But if they're not ready in that moment, you know, you kind of go through the whole thing I just shared, then the next question you could say is, would you be willing to do some journaling on this after the session, right? And then, you know, there may be a higher chance that they would do some homework on it, like in their own the privacy of their own thoughts. And then you can send them some compelling questions to journal on.
Okay. Yeah. And how does this apply, these tools apply to group work?
So that's a big, broad question. More specific? Is there a more specific question around that?
So you know what I've shared already. I had a group, and I had just had one person kind of have some trouble where everyone else is right on board with everything and doing really well. And so everything's going really well, but I lost that one person. And I'm just wondering how I could have done that differently, how I could have navigated that particular situation. And when you see, you know, this is part of that resistance, when you see the resistance come up, do you say something in the group or do you say something privately?
Yeah, it really depends on the situation and the person. Always coach the what based on the who. 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, you're probably going to want to bring it up in the group. But there are going to be certain situations where it's not appropriate, where it will be further triggering for the particular person or whatever the situation is. But I would say it is either way, in a group, as soon as you notice that someone is, you know, checking out in a way where you sense they may, because it seemed like this person maybe got insulted or, you know, whatever it is, or got hurt, you know, as soon as you notice it, you want, at the very least, at the next break, if it's in person, or right, you know, after the session, for you to reach out to the person and see if you can get on the phone, like to try. The longer it festers, the back to containers.
She did not want to talk about it. I reached out and she didn't want to. So that was really challenging for me. The group container is a lot more complex, especially when you're doing online. I mean, this is the first time.
Yeah, 100%.
But it, in person, you can just, you know, deal with it right there, right then. And, you know, you've got eyes and...
100%. It's harder online. I think there's absolutely more things to learn about the group container. I think I told you in the group summit, like I don't cover all the group container pieces here, but there are other places where I can support you with that. But honestly, for right now, my sense is, and tell me if you agree. I think that you're making a story up about what happened with this individual, But my sense is that energetically you're holding on and gripping. You did your best. Right? And she, and so there may have been things you could have done differently for sure. I don't know because I don't know the whole situation and all the extra, you know, like all the things. But what I do know is that if you keep on gripping to this, it's not going to serve you at all.
You're right. It's true.
So what, so I'll just ask you this for now. What would you need to believe in order to let this have its appropriate place for you?
That everything is about alignment, and perhaps for her it just fell out of alignment, so it really has nothing to do with me, and that that's one of my things is I sometimes make it about me, and I just need to let that go.
Yeah. Why do you make it about you? I know because I make it about me sometimes, more than sometimes, too. So you're not alone. But why do you make it about you?
Yeah, I'm an overachiever, and I want to help everyone, and I never want to – I think it goes back to, you know, my sister wound of not being able to save my sister, and I think I think it's an emotional piece. Yeah. Yeah. And as I say that, I get all teary. I get all, get ready to cry.
Yeah.
I think that's.
So we know that this, right? So this is big. Yeah. And it almost feels to me like this situation has come up for you to learn how to do your overachieving and your need to save everyone in a different way. You can move through this with more awareness.
It's very interesting because my sister is actually in hospital right now, and I've witnessed my energetics of wanting just to jump in there and rescue like I used to, and it's like no, it doesn't work anymore. It never really worked anyways.
So it's, I'm so happy that you can see that, right? That's so big. And that you can also see the connection to the situation in your group. So for now, we'll just leave it here. But I really want you to continue making those connections. Yeah. And like you said earlier, to remember that it's sometimes something is just out of alignment.
Mm.
And there may be nothing that you can do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah,
that's hard, but it feels like truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you, hon. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I won't break it down right now in detail, but even just in the exchange at the end, you know, with that I just had with Shamet, did you guys hear different kinds of creating awareness that I did, different types of honoring what is, reflecting the truth, celebrating, even some facting in there. Okay. Oh, we've got another question. Great question.
I just wanted to say that was beautiful. I love that. And that's all I want to say.
Awesome. Tell us what, since you're raising your hand, tell us what are you taking away from that? Like, what's one thing, one piece that you're learning or taking away?
I really enjoyed watching you teach her how to reflect the truth. Because that's something I'm uncomfortable with, is reflecting the truth. And so it was just seemed so natural and just beautiful. I just really liked how that all came out. It was compassionate and caring. It was nice to see it done in action as opposed, you know, just to, you know, doing it myself or, you know, listening to how to do it.
It sounds like it made it not less scary, but like I said, I'm a little off my game too, but kind of a little less scary for you. Like, you're more willing to do it.
Totally. And it makes me feel, because it sounded like a conversation, you know, like it was a two-way street, and it wasn't you just teaching her, and it wasn't her just, you know, talking about what was going on in her life. It was a conversation that I really appreciated. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, good. All right, so let us let's give you guys a chance to do some of this practice now. Just as a kind of as a very, very quick review. So we're, you know, similar to our listening practicum, I'm going to call on a volunteer. Hopefully we'll have time for two today. We'll see how it goes. I'll ask the volunteer a whole bunch of questions so we can get a lot of information. We'll use our listening skills, right? All of that. And then I'll ask each of you, raise your hand and do one piece of creating awareness, right? Based on anything that you heard from our volunteer client. So it might be this facting that I was talking about earlier today. It might be reflecting a hard truth. You might do it, you know, we looked at lots of different ways for reflecting truths, just kind of straight up, or with a personal story, or with a question that reflects the truth. It might be a simple what I'm hearing is, right? Just that simple mirroring and reflecting. You might want to create awareness by honoring what is. You might want to create awareness by celebrating, right? So it'll be similar to our listening practicum where you want to listen. And obviously anything that you're going to create awareness on is sharing something that you've heard. But when you share it, different from our listening practicum where you just kind of shared what you heard kind of straight up, I want you to see if you can use some of the language that we've learned for the different ways of creating awareness. If you're going to reflect a hard truth, you don't have to go through the whole, you know, asking permission and this and that. And let's see how it goes. So, who would like to be our volunteer for today? Need a volunteer, star two. Don't be shy. Who's it going to be? All right. Shonda, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try not to coach you and really just kind of ask questions, draw out, so we might be all over the place. I might jump from one thing to the next, but I'm just going to kind of ask a lot of questions to draw out some information from you.
Okay.
So what's a situation that you would like some support on?
Probably dealing with my sister that's in the hospital.
Okay, tell us more about what's going on there.
It's a really big one. So I have two sisters. One sister's just like me. She's an overachiever and very successful and is doing really well and has two twins. But I have another sister that I don't really have a relationship with any longer because she's a methamphetamine addict. And she's made a lot of really bad choices and ended up in some bad situations. So I haven't actually had a conversation with her for maybe 5 years. And she's in hospital and they've found a big growth on her lungs. And my mom's a drug and alcohol counselor. My mom has tried to save her so many times as well. It doesn't work. And my mom's falling apart at the moment. And I'm the one, and I've always been the one to support the family when everyone falls apart. So I'm sitting in support role. And I had a dream, premonition dream right before this happened. And in the premonition dream, my sister kept trying to get into the room that I was in. And I kept saying, go out, you know, and she kept coming in. And then she had invaded my house and all her drugs were everywhere. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. And then this happened. And I just thought, wow, you know, I am not going to get sucked back into everything again because it just is too painful. But I'm also, you know, thinking, well, I might lose my sister. And so, yeah, it's a really hard one because she's very manipulative. And, you know, as you can imagine, she's a drug addict, and but she's also my sister. So I am sitting in a lot of emotion at the moment about it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, I'm not going to coach here or, you know, anything like that. So I'm going to just kind of jump a little bit.
Okay.
If this were a coaching session, what is it that you would want to receive by the end of the session?
I don't really know. I didn't even know I had all these feelings inside. I wasn't going to raise my hand. And now here I am. So I don't know if I should try and call her and get back in touch with her, but I'm afraid of getting back in touch with her because she's so unhealthy and so just, you know, oh, so dysfunctional that it's really, anytime I do end up reconnecting with her, it is so painful and I end up getting disappointed and I end up being a bit of a mess and I've got so much going on in my life. I don't have any time to be a mess. I don't have time to deal with dysfunction. So I feel conflicted. I feel really like I'm not sure what to do. And my husband says, you know, if she dies, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life if you don't reconnect with her. And there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else that you want to tell us? Anything else that's coming up as you're talking?
Well, normally in a situation like this, I would be falling apart at the seams and crying. And I'm actually amazed at how I'm not. And it's not that I'm cut off from my feelings, but I feel quite level about the whole thing at the same time. So I'm finding that just I'm observing myself and it's just kind of interesting. I don't know. Maybe because I've been through so much with her already. Maybe I've already mourned her death before she's even gone because she is, you know, she's not the same person as I used to know with the methamphetamines. It's almost like I've already dealt with the death of my sister. But no, actually, I do feel quite emotional. Thank you for just listening.
Yeah, I'm glad that we can hold space.
This is definitely my filters. I think I definitely am always trying to save people because I couldn't save her. So that's a very big thing to be aware of for me.
I just want to ask one more question. Well, maybe one more. It might be more than one. So you said that it's different this time, that you're not falling apart like you usually do. And you mentioned some reasons you may have already mourned the loss in a way, and you've been through it so many times. I'm just wondering, do you sense there are any other reasons why it's different for you this time, why you're level-headed, why you're not falling apart at the seams, even though you're honoring your emotion?
Well, I think it's a huge part of all the process work I've done, all the transformational work, all the work. I think all the work that I've been doing is helping. But I guess at the same time, I'm I'm a bit afraid if, you know, because we don't know exactly what's wrong at the moment. If she is going to die, then I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle that. That's probably different. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for being willing to share and share so vulnerably. I think we have enough information to be able to do some practice.
Great.
So I'm gonna come back to you in a little bit, Shamet, but for now, and you can do this too, if you're able to do this next part of the exercise. So for everybody, what I want to ask you to do is, write down what are some things that you, if this were a client, that you would want to create awareness around, whether it's reflecting a hard truth or facting or celebrating, acknowledging, honoring what is. Take a moment and write down what are some awarenesses that want to be created. And I want to remind everybody, when we create awareness, sometimes it's creating awareness around something that the client just didn't know at all until we create that awareness. Other times when we create awareness, the client knows it, they said it, they may even feel it, but the creating awareness allows them to take it in even more deeply, to integrate it even more deeply, to process it even more deeply. So what are some things, if you were the practitioner here, that you would like to create awareness around? Forgot to mention, we also have a post going in the Facebook group. It kind of got a little bit lower. It's not at the top of the page, but hopefully I'll hear your voices. But if you also want to comment on that post that I posted earlier today. So star two, what would you want to create awareness around? Don't be shy. This is a moment to really practice, even if you're not sure, right, of what you're going to say, or if it's, there is no right here or wrong, but don't be shy. Just, this is for everybody's learning. All right, who's the 8290 from Minnesota?
That's me, Joanne, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So
great to hear your voice.
It's so good to hear yours. I seem to have a frog in my throat. one thing that I had written down about what you said. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting your name of the client.
Shaunette,
thank you. So, Shaunette, one thing I heard you say, and I also heard Joanne repeat it, is that you have the sense that maybe you've mourned your sister ahead of time. And I think it might, shedding just a little bit of light on when you say that, what you mean by that. Like, what are you mourning?
Beautiful. I love it. It's such a great, first of all, creating awareness by asking a question. And, the client has said that in some ways she's already mourned the loss of her sister. Clearly, there's also more mourning to do around this loss. And so this question that you're asking, Lisa, can really help the client see, okay, these are the places where I've mourned. These are places where there's actually a lot more mourning to do because I don't have the sister that I wanted or what I thought would be, you know, the sister, you know, all of that. So where else do I need to mourn so that I can accept the relationship or the sister that I do have?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, great. See who's next. Rose.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, yeah.
Hi. What I've written down here is...
Oh, I'm having
about...
a little bit of trouble hearing you. You're a little bit muffled.
Okay.
That's
is this
better.
Any better?
Yeah, a lot better.
I've written down about how it's okay to reach our limitation.
Oh, Rose, I'm having trouble hearing you again.
Oh, dear. I'll try one more time. Is that any better?
Yep, try. Yes, I think so. Let's try it.
I'm hearing something here about when we reach our limitations, and not being afraid to explore those limitations, and where we reach the point where we feel there's not a space beyond that point. And just being able to fully be there, that we don't know what to do, that we don't see that space. And letting that be there without any judgment or any criticism, just sitting there with that. Because many times the new space does open up or can open up. Or we can see something out of that silence or hear something out of that silence that not only is there to console us, but to guide us into operating out of a greater truth within us or finding that place of truth within us. That's what I heard. I hope you heard me say it.
I heard almost all of it. So from what I heard, so first of all, beautiful. I think important awarenesses. And I'm wondering if we would put this into the context of a conversation, right? If you were actually in a conversation with this client, after you shared that truth, which was kind of like facting in a way, what would you do next? Because that was a big truth to kind of lay down there.
Mm-hmm. I would want to ask. I would want to ask about the feelings that Shemet is having about where she feels she can't move forward. And sharing that, maybe.
Oh, Rose, I can't hear you. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry too.
Yeah, can you post it in the Facebook comment? Because I wanna hear what you're saying, but I can't. I'm not hearing all the words. I feel like I'm not gonna be able to give you respond.
I will. I'll share it in the Facebook.
Okay, thank you. All right. See who's next. Chell. Uh-oh.
No.
Oh, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I'm in a weird Airbnb with
okay.
the internet.
Great.
Yeah, wasn't sure. Okay.
Great. So I, you know, if I were the practitioner working with Shauna, what I really heard were two things. And one was when, Joanna, you asked what she would like to receive, that what I heard was that she immediately went in, she didn't know what she needed, but it was like, what does her sister need? What does her mom need? And so I would really like to come back to that and create some awareness around helping her identify what she needs in the moment. My intuition says that that may be a piece from past times with the same dynamic that may need a bit of extra support.
Mm-hmm.
And what I heard really was a big double bind, that's like my languaging for it, between the split between like having this desire to reach out and reconnect. It's really coupled with the fear of this old pattern of like being exhausted and always offering support and like doing it one more time. And then split from like needing to keep this. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm gonna pause you
yeah.
there because there's so much in what you're saying. I want to just tease
yeah.
out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yes, 100%. And let's go back first to the first thing. So that
yeah.
you were hearing that she was jumping to what her mother needs, what her sister needs, and then bringing her back to, you know, well, what is it that she needs? Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, creating awareness around this pattern that whenever there is an emergency in the family, she doesn't go to, okay, what are my needs,
mm-hmm.
but what are everybody else's needs, so much so that even in a session, a coaching session that is for her, she still is disconnected from even wondering about what her needs are.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm just drawing out everything that you said is because you're whip smart, like all of us are here, and sometimes even just slowing down, because we can connect the dots so quickly, and I can hear your mind thinking,
right.
Smart. You've connected it all so quickly, but with a client, even if the client is whip smart, we're rarely smart about ourselves the way we're smart about others. We don't connect the dots as quickly. And I know everything that I just said, the extra words that I added, you were hearing in your head also, but it's just a great example of like, we actually want to slow it down when we're creating awareness around something that is like that, so that she can really see how deep this patterning of not really connecting in with her own needs goes.
Yeah, that's actually brilliant, because what I heard was like it was skipped over pretty quickly. Like there was like a fastness to the skipping over her needs. So I really hear you when you're saying like, oh, and that just like really slow that one piece down.
Yes.
Could be epic. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love this idea of the double bind. And that's a great piece of language to bring in for a client.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we create awareness with the client's language, and then sometimes we create awareness with new language that we're bringing in.
Yeah.
So that's a great term. Beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. These are also great. Let's hear some more. I think this is Alana 7340.
No, it's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Oh, I was thinking to myself, I know I have two New York people. I can remember another New York person. Hi, it's great to hear your voice.
Hi. Yeah, it's great to be here. Okay, so if jumping right in,
yeah,
what I heard was I wanted to celebrate some of the things I heard her say that I know when we get into the revivement of trauma, sometimes we skip over the things that we're doing right. And
yeah.
I heard a lot of awareness around detachment, uncomfortability mm-hmm. of her act or her boundaries in action. Like I could mm-hmm. hear that it was uncomfortable to keep her boundaries up, but that she was doing it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to really ask her if she was aware that she had already begun to build the skills that were going to aid her in this situation, that she
yeah.
could draw on those things.
Yes. I love that. That's a way of celebrating, but putting it into a question form. So you could do it as, you know, I really want to honor you or acknowledge you for, but I love how you put it into that question form. Are you aware that you've been really nice?
And then I also wanted to acknowledge her dream, because that's kind of part of my wheelhouse too. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to also acknowledge and support her that she is already connected to her sister through the dream.
Yeah.
She had a warning
yeah.
of what was coming. And so there is a visceral connection between the two of them that in being receptive to that energy, she was actually holding her sister's energy in a different kind of way than we don't always have to be present for the other people physically. We can hold them
yeah.
at a distance. And love them from a distance, and that keeps us safe.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what you just did there was, yeah. So that's facting, right? We can love others from a distance, right? That's kind of sharing a fact from expertise or experience. Beautiful. Yeah, and the dream, I mean, there's so many. We could go very deep into the dream, but for sure there's a lot of acknowledgement, like celebration there. Like she, all her psyche is signaling to her, you know, she spoke about the sister's stuff invading her house.
Mm-hmm.
That's so rich in metaphor, right? There's a lot of awareness that could be created there and in how her psyche is already letting her know what she does and doesn't want, which might be different than in the past.
Right.
Beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Great, great stuff.
Good. Let's hear a couple more. Timmy.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, so many things have already been brought up, but, you know, in hearing particularly the pain of the past ways in which she was interacting with her sister, that, you know, it was painful and she would be disappointed and then she would become an emotional wreck. And yet at this point, you know, with the seriousness of what her sister is facing right now, wanting to be in connection, it makes me wonder whether she might be able to see that there's a way to bridge that gap in the conflict, that she could both be in connection and take care of herself at the same time by setting an intention to just be in connection with her sister to let her know that she's there and thinking of her and loves her, but in no way taking on anything that's going on or trying to change her or save her.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so I know we haven't gotten to our questioning module yet, but I'll push this a little bit. This is great. So if you were to articulate that into a question, take a moment and think about the words. How would you articulate that in a question?
I'm wondering if you might be able to find a way to be in connection with your sister so that you would feel like you had that connection and yet have very clear boundaries so that you're not setting yourself up for that disappointment and pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't quite a question. I'm going to push you, Penny, because I know you can take
okay.
it, right? and see if it can be not a yes-no. Let's keep it even a little
mm-hmm.
bit more open-ended. And everybody practice this right now. See if you can articulate, you can write down, articulate this question. That was a question.
Hmm. Can you imagine being in connection with your sister in a way that would be taking care of you?
Nice. Yeah, really nice. And that's a yes or no question, which is great. And you'll see when we get to our questioning module, we could even open that up more just by adding the word how at the beginning of that sentence.
Okay.
How can you? But either
right.
way,
okay.
really nicely done. Yeah, good. Thank you for playing.
Okay. Sure. Absolutely.
All right. Kristen.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's already been so many wonderful things that have been said. This is a new concept to me, so I was more wanting to recognize and bring awareness to the fact that I think this involved a little bit of the listening last week, that I was taking from it that what she was hoping to get from the call was more guidance and clarity on whether or not she should call her sister during our conversation. And she talked about her other sister that was she has a good relationship with. And I think she also wants awareness or wants reassurance and, like, needs reassurance that she has been reaching out for her sister and that she has done enough. And so bringing awareness of what her own criteria maybe would be, involving, like, how she knows that she's done enough with her sister so she can move on.
Yeah, so
because
maybe
it sounds
a
like
question
had a
like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. No, it's okay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. And I'm thinking, like, to articulate that, you know, it could be a question like, what does it mean to be a good sister?
That would be good. What would it mean to be a good sister? I don't think this question is as good, but I was kind of off the top of my head. I was thinking, if something were to happen to your sister, what would you want her to know about you or to know about, I don't know. Yeah. So that's where I get hung up from the question part on how to get my awareness back into the client.
I'm just trying to go with the question you just asked. Say it again.
Yeah, I haven't been able to really articulate it, but more like, what would you want your sister to know before, it, you know, if something were to have an unfortunate event, what would you, would there be anything else that you would want to have done or have said?
Beautiful. Yeah, and just because I know Shawnette a little bit, how I would just shift to that question a little bit, because remember, always coach the who, what based on the who.
Right.
I would say from your highest truth and your heart, what has been unspoken with your sister that wants to be expressed?
Oh, I love that.
And that might... Right, and I love that you're bringing this idea up, right? Because then you can strategize possibly from there on maybe there's nothing that has been unexpressed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is, but there are different ways that it can get expressed.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by calling or visiting or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Beautiful, thank you. Okay. You guys got a lot of the ones that I wrote down, and I'm just looking to see if there are any others here. You know, one, which is probably the most obvious, is just the honoring what is, right? And Tel got to this in the double bind also for sure, but also just honoring, like, how hard it is to have a sister in this situation, to love. Clearly, Shawnette loves her sister so much, like, to have a loved one that's in this situation, right, to just honor that, to honor the loss of the sister that she never got to have, that just that can be powerful. You know, we saw just even as Shawnette was sharing, and I was trying my best not to coach or, you know, do too much, but we saw just in providing that space, how it gave her a space to emote, right? To just be with her feelings. That's another purpose of a sacred depth practitioner, right? Just because, you know, this idea that when we can express our feelings in a safe space, they can move through us in ways that are healthy, as opposed to when they don't move through us, right? And sometimes honoring what is just can provide a space to be able to emote in those ways. What else? Yeah, there's a lot to celebrate, as Kathy was sharing, you know, the premonition, the ways that she was already just had so many skills and tools for the trauma, that she's intuitive, right, that she has this dream. And also, well, no, I guess that's it. I think we hit all of the others here. All right, so Shamet, let me come back to you. Where are you? Here you go. I'm going to take you off mute. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tell us, what did you learn for yourself? That wasn't obviously a real coaching session, but like, what did you take in for yourself from that was important for you?
Wow, I just want to thank everyone, first of all. Thank you so much. That was really valuable. I realized that I haven't actually been thinking about what I need, and that was huge. I realized that there are so many other parts to this. You know, she lost her son because she was, you know, shooting the drugs, heroin and all sorts in her arms and stuff. So she actually lost her son, and I helped her son, but he had to go through through the system. So he was in a foster care home. And then we moved back to New Zealand, my family and I. And I thought about adopting him, but I knew that my sister would never forgive me and she would hate me if I moved him to New Zealand. So I didn't do that. And that meant he went through, you know, foster care in the system. And she to this day blames me, which is really painful because I did everything I could. I did everything for her and for him and it's so painful. And so what needs to be said is that she did this. I didn't do this, you know, but
yeah.
it's not something that I can ever say. And so when
you know, I'll just share this for now. It may not be something that you can say to her.
Yeah.
But I think that there's some work for you to be able to take that truth in more deeply. There, it wasn't you. It was her. You did everything that you can do.
I know, but...
Okay, so...
That's why I can reconnect with her, because if I reconnect with her, then I, you know, it's not...
Well, so I think that you have... I think you have some answers there. I'm sorry, I'm being a little quick just because I know we can go so deep into this and I don't want to. But also, it seems like there's some deeper work for you to do with yourself around really honoring how you have shown up for your sister.
Yeah.
And how you've been a good sister. You have been an incredible sister. An incredible sister from what you've shared. And if this resonates, I would really invite you to write a letter to your sister that you're not going to send. This is for you. Where you really get to share all that you've done and all that you know that you've done.
Yeah.
And I know that you're a ritualist and do some ritual magic so that she can get it energetically.
Thank you. Okay, that's what I need to do. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, everybody. Awesome work. I'm looking at the time. I'm not sure that we have time for another volunteer. I feel like we'll probably get cut off. But I'd love for everybody to take a moment and write down a couple things. So number one, what did you take away from the work that we just did? What are you seeing and learning around creating awareness that is important for you? What's a new awareness that was created for you? Might be something totally new or something that you knew that you're taking in and integrating a little bit more deeply. And then next question, if you had an edge when it came to creating awareness, so a place where you recognize that you're ready to stretch a little bit more when it comes to creating awareness, what would that edge be? We've all got edges. I have edges for myself too, right? So with this, all these creating awareness skills and pieces, what's your next edge? Where are you ready to stretch into? Next question, for those of you that are working with a coaching partner, and if you're not working with a coaching partner, if you're working with clients, you can still answer this question. So for our coaching partner work this week, or as you work with your clients this week, what's something related to creating awareness that you really want to be aware of for yourself? What's something related to creating awareness that you really want to be aware of for yourself? So I'd love to hear, what are some of the things that you're taking away? What are your edges, or any questions that you have? Star two. Who is this? 8134.
Hi, Joanna. It's Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm really becoming more aware that for me, like, my comfort zone is actually in the deep feelings. Like, I right away wanted to, you know, invite her to just pause and be with those feelings and let's find out more about them. Like, that's really easy for me to, not easy, but that's kind of natural for me to go there. But my stretch is to bring in more of like a bird's eye kind of wider view of what's happening with patterns and maybe what's needed in the moment. I'm having trouble articulating it exactly, but
No, I think you're articulating it really well. I love that you're seeing this for yourself, because I know you're already such an experienced practitioner. You're amazing at what you do. And this feels like a next piece that could be so powerful for you. First of all, I have a feeling you're bringing patterns and bird's eye view anyway. But what I'm really hearing is you're seeing that you could step it up. Efficient isn't the right word, because when it comes to emotions, efficient
right.
is not exactly. But what I'm almost guessing, tell me if I'm getting this right, I might be totally off, I don't know, but I'm almost guessing that maybe what happens in some sessions for you is you spend so much time in the emotion that there isn't maybe, you feel like there may not be enough time left over to look at some of the patterns and maybe even get to some of the other pieces. I could be off there, but is there any of that going
on? Yeah, that definitely can happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a great awareness, right, for you to kind of be on your edge around how can you create the space while also keeping the bird's eye view in mind. You know, I don't think there's a particular strategy, like first do this and then do this, but I think this is about your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is you'll be able to get to both. I know that you can get to both. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that helpful
Great.
To think about it that
very,
way?
Very, very helpful. Yeah. Thank you
and
so much.
And it doesn't have to be like now we're in the emotion and now we're in the patterns and the bird's
right.
eye view. You know, it there can be a gradation to moving from one to the other so that they bleed, the one bleeds into the other, and it doesn't feel like, okay, we're compartmentalizing this and now we're moving on to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you just keep that in mind, and I would love for you to have that as like a little goal for yourself for your next session, a couple of sessions, and let's see how that how that wants to move for you.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kristen.
This Kristen?
Yes, that Kristen.
Your third question about something related to creating awareness that I want to be aware of, it was really becoming clear to me as I listened to what everyone else was bringing in that just my own filters as someone who's been doing this work for a while, I tend to think that everyone knows the same things that I do. So if like I'm working with a client and I might not bring something up because I would just assume that that person has the same level of knowledge or whatever as I do. So just really being more aware that each of us, I guess as it became clear to me, is listening to how each of us brings our own expertise and our own knowledge to these to this session. We all have our own bits and pieces, Everybody was helpful, I guess. Everybody's different thing was helpful. And so mine can be, even if I think that it's something that somebody might already know before, that it's helpful to just check my own filters and know that not everybody knows the same, has the same level of, or the same.
Yes.
What am I trying to say?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Don't make assumptions about what your client knows or doesn't know. And I, you know, there's some moments where some things obviously don't need to be said and all of that, but I would say more often than not, if you're hearing it in your head, share it with the client, because again, they may know it, but one of the purposes of creating awareness is to support our clients in taking what they already know to a deeper level. So you almost can't go wrong in a sense if you do share it, you know, even if they already know it. I'm sure you've had that this happened to you, I certainly have, where somebody could be a coach, a practitioner, or even a friend, or my husband says something that I absolutely already know, but it's like in that moment, I needed to hear it from the outside to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, good. I'm so glad you're seeing that. Wonderful. Thank you. Hold on a sec. This computer is doing something funny again. Tell, can you press *2 to raise your hand? Because the computer isn't letting me do it right now. Kenny, I saw your hand up also. Can you see if you can take your hand, raise your hand, *2? That way I'll know if it's just me. Oh, here we go. Try this again. Tal, can you speak now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, got it.
Okay, great, great, great. I think my takeaway is really going to be it's like an exploration, I think, about this balance between simplicity and complexity and what needs to be named versus like what can I hold energetically as being the complex picture. Can I begin by just naming the simplest piece but like holding the blueprint of the complexity and seeing where that takes us? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Because also there's like, sometimes it's like a time lapse. Like I think there's like a time lapse capsule. You know, like there may be, so I should actually take back a little bit what I was just sharing about if you think it, say it. I do think that a lot of the time that's true, but sometimes you may know that that is a piece that can be held for later. What's the most important? And the question is like, what is the most important thing that the client needs to be made aware of now in order for them to get where they want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And so that does mean that sometimes we hold those complexities and then share what's ready to be shared.
Yeah. Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was really seeing it before as like almost like, if you've got a tangled ball of yarn for any particular piece that the client may come up with, but with like a lot of different ends, I just really feeling like, oh, you could almost grasp like any one of those ends and it would get you to the same place. Do you feel that? Do you find that to be true?
100%. It is an art, not a science. And more than one road leads to where you want to go. And different practitioners are going to pick up on the, you know, different yarns or even just where you're at in that particular moment as a practitioner. But there's rarely ever just one way to get to the result or to the intention of the session. And that's one of the things that I love about doing this work and why I don't call it a method. It's like you just want to have as many tools as you can in your toolbox and then use the ones that feel most appropriate in that moment or go down the roads that feel to you in that moment most appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing that up.
Yeah, it just really allows me to trust more about what my intuition says because it's always going to be, then it's just like, it'll always work out. It will always lead in the right direction.
Right, right. And that's what I was just about to say is like, so long as you trust your instinct while also checking in with the client always. But so long as you trust your instinct, you kind of can't go wrong. And you can also always course correct. It's a very coaching, I know, whatever you want to call what we're doing, like it's very forgiving. You can always course correct if you happen to go down a road that isn't quite it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing that up. Thank you.
Kathy.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh, I'm just loving this. I'm really loving getting in there and just dissecting these different things. To me, it's really fun. But the one thing I really am taking away today is that when we're in a big moment with a client, it's so important to hold the container strongly and at the same time create space. And that's what I heard you really do. And I really, really appreciate that, because sometimes I'll go to one side or the other. I won't stay in like doing both at the same time. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And you can hold both at the same time. Absolutely. Part of it, I find the trick is to not get scared, right? That you're gonna run out of time, or you know, that anything, like once any fear of anything comes up in your mind as the practitioner, that's when you can't kind of hold both at the same time.
Right. I think I get afraid of offending the client, or I'm getting better at, more skilled, I guess, at interjecting and being able to shape things.
Yeah.
But it's like allowing the client to lead, but then you lead at the same time. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And I love it.
Okay. I'm so glad. I can tell something is clicking for you. I'm happy to hear it. Yes, around the co-leading, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Who else has their hand raised? Who is this from Vancouver?
Hi, it's Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Hey. This has been really powerful. I'm so grateful for the situation that was shared by Shamet, and Tal had a really great reflection that kind of spoke to what my question is, or kind of like the edge that I think I want to be aware of too. And I think it is reflecting the truth, but more so simply like questioning. I know that sounds really big, but I can, like, as I was listening to the situation and all that was being shared, I could pick up quite like intuitively, almost without words, what is happening with the client, and I can see, okay, really simple for me to honor what is, really clear for me to see the tension that she holds, and can create that sort of awareness. But then the so what part is the part that I can imagine like would bring up that like sense of being just like afraid or unsure where to go with it. And so hearing Tal's kind of metaphor around like pulling the many threads, and any of them can get us somewhere, is really reassuring. But I'm still like with that whole, so what, like, what do I do from here? And where do we go from here with skilled questioning?
Yep. Well, that's why we're going to get to questioning next. There's a method to my madness. It's all in order for a reason. But we'll get there in September. But what I would say for now is I love you. I'm so happy that you're kind of seeing what you're seeing. And it sounds like you pick up on so much when you're listening to a client. And what I really want you to practice over the next few weeks, and tell me if this sounds right to you, is number one, sharing what you're picking up on. And for now, for the so what, like we'll get to questioning, but for now, for the so what, ask the client, you know, how does, well, there are a couple of things you can ask. One is just so, what about that resonates for you? Does that resonate for you? And if so, what's important about it for you? Because that will give you, that will help you pick up a thread when you hear what's important for them. Mm-hmm. Or this is a little bit of a not as surefire question, but the other thing you can ask, you know, after is it resonates is like, so knowing that, where do you want to go from here? Where do you want to look from here?
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I want you to practice just with like simple follow-up
right.
questions from your reflections and see how, where that gets you. You do that in your practice session so you don't feel scared to mess it up.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks, Joanna. That's helpful.
Yeah, good. It's a great question. Thank you. Okay. All right. And Penny.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, so much has already been gone over, but I think for me personally, just more skill at questions that really let the client explore and find answers for themselves. And the whole issue of really, I mean, I pay attention to it, but to be more conscious of the energetic flow and how to follow that.
Yes.
And I do that intuitively a lot, but I want to be more conscious of it too, so I can see where it's going. And then I think that one thing that I've been doing lately with clients is practicing a lot more on the celebrations and honoring, where from my therapy practice, everything was always focused more on, it was a lot more focused on problems and the pain. So it's, you know, seeing the power of the celebrations and honoring is really good for me.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm so glad to hear it. Good. I'm chuckling because I always, whenever we talk about celebrating, it's like so easy to do with clients, but then I'm like, for myself, I always have to remember to not focus on the pain and celebrate. It's a good message for all of us. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, everyone. So, like I said, we're going to have a couple weeks before we're live again. If you're going to have a coaching partner session over the next couple of weeks, it's same as last week. Assignment is I want you to see if in the session how many ways you can create awareness. Almost see if you can hit like an honoring what is, a celebrating, a mirroring, a reflecting a truth, and a facting. You know, don't let it drive you nuts, right? But see how many ways you can bring these skills in. And again, time for catch up. I'll be sharing some new material with you. And as I said, I'll be checking in on Facebook. If any of you have posted anything or made a comment that I haven't responded to yet, I won't get into all of my technology woes with you, but I'm having some Facebook issues in groups where I'm not catching everything. So just tag me again. So it'll be kind of like at the top of my notifications, so I can get to it. So, you know, I should always be responding within, I mean, during this vacation time, it might be a little longer, 4 or 5 days, but in general, within 2 or 3 days, I'll always respond. So if you see that I don't, please just tag me again. I am sending all of you a ton of love, and I'm thinking about you and wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.